Or what'd you say?
12.
All right, so 12, you know, so. I'm actually playing 10, so that doesn't count. Well, it's between. So it's between, in between two shapes, the way I think, anyway. Close enough, right? So arpeggios are huge. The next one is volume. This is a big one that people don't think about. I have a whole article on this, and in your packet, it cites the article. My friend from Australia published it on his guitar teaching site. My friends and I sometimes swap articles. And it's about controlling the single note volume versus the chord volume. How many of you, and I'm not criticizing, because it's very common, this is not at all a criticism, it's very common that people will take the volume knob and just turn it up for single note lines and then back down for chords. How many people do that? The only, and it's fine, I have no problem with that. The only issue is, what do you do when you're trading, like twos or fours or something? That can become, you don't have to answer that. I'd like to know later. What do you guys do? Do you have to constantly, that's a pain in the neck. I'm gonna have to invent the little stick from my pinky to the volume knob. No, I'm just kidding. So I was taught to keep the volume of the chords and the volume of the lines equal, and it's a huge thing in solo playing, a hugely underrated thing. So if I go, like when I put two students together and they're jamming, inevitably the student playing chords is gonna drown out the one playing single note lines. But if I turn, let's say person A playing chords down, then when they switch roles, you're not gonna hear that person. So like you just can't. So I just happen to have a teacher who was very adamant about that. So I do quiet chords and louder lines. So is a link to a YouTube video that supports the article where I take a loop station, play two bars of chords and two bars of lines. And I do that for however many bars. And then at the same volume, I do another pass where I do the reverse. And then we sit back and listen to the end result. And sure enough, the lines are louder. So it's just something to be aware of. Right, so go home, try. You ever feel like when you're playing solo guitar, the bottom just drops out and you're like, you know, I got no support or anything. You know, it could just be that your chords are too loud. Moving on, playing with silence, a huge thing as well. Even though it's only one instrument, there's two things happening. There's a dual dynamic, whatever the word is. There's a dynamic of duality. One is you're playing, and one is you're not playing. Well, duh, it sounds so obvious, but do we really utilize that? I don't, but when I do, I really like it. Utilizing silence, two, three. Yeah, here we go, two, three. There's distinct passages. It's not a lot of silence. I'm not sitting around waiting, go get me a drink. You know. But does that make sense? It's an underutilized thing, in my opinion. Last thing, it goes very along with rhythm. You can't have rhythm without some kind of silence. But I guess what I meant in that, as opposed to the silence, is I'm anticipating and delaying all over the place, whether in the lines or the chords. Anticipating is when you play the chord before the beat, two, three, one. Thank you. sounds compelling just because it's right before the beat and it's on the end of four or four. You could do it on four. Saying it always has to be on four, on the end of four. Most of the time it is. Delay is when you play the attack. Attack doesn't mean you're playing heavy metal. It's just the opposite of a rest, right? You play it after the beat. So three, four. Which is kind of relaxing and a nice contrast. The best is when you mix up both. So see if you can tell whether I'm ahead, whether I'm anticipating or delaying on each chord. Three, four. Like I did no soloing at all, no single note lines at all, and that was relatively compelling just because it's rhythmically varied, right? So you with me? So that's my outline. You can read about each one of those in greater detail